New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Red Circle. Also, the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. Also, check out our new Discord. It's called Off the Floor, $2.99 per month. 10 different channels you get access to. Yes, you do need to sign up. We saw about 20 signups yesterday, but nobody got past the first page. You actually got to pay the $2.99. If you want to pay just $2.99, do it on your desktop or laptop. Apple will charge a $1 surcharge. Just check it out. Off the Floor. Again, the link is right here on the YouTube page, also on the podcast feed and pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Sports Twitter page. Also, we are still promoting Prize Picks. We recognize that you can't play currently in the state of Florida. We don't make those rules. We do think some of that's going to change here shortly. If you're out of state, though, you can continue to use the code 5 if Prize Picks is legal in your state. It's currently legal, actually, in 33 states. Florida just has these weird rules. So check it out, prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E, for your daily fantasy props. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, we ain't breaking frauds.
Just like what they say,
you in trouble, y'all.
Kept the pro plan, got an all band. So finally, are playing well. We know that. They're going on a two-game road trip to Oklahoma City and Dallas. Actually, Dallas is first. The news came down today that neither Kevin Love nor Tyler Herro will make the trip. Love was not a surprise. I spoke to him before the game yesterday, and he told me that he's still sore, making progress. He's close, but not quite ready. We didn't hear specifically from Tyler Herro, but now this is another lengthy absence for Herro. This time it is the foot. And, of course, that's leading to more conversation about what the starting backcourt should be when it is that Tyler finally returns, because the Heat are playing well without him again, and one guy in particular is playing well, and that's Duncan Robinson. And so Brady and I are going to try to have a nuanced, thoughtful discussion on a topic that has everybody all riled up, because it's the most toxic topic. Would you agree with on that, Brady? Is this the most toxic Heat topic this season?
Oh, 100%. You better claim one side. Like, you have to be, you cannot be middle ground. Even though I feel like I'm pretty middle ground on it, like you better lean one way.
Right. And neither of us really do. So we're going to actually try to work through this together. Brady's going to handle more of the stats and the basketball part of this, although I'll bring some of it. And I am going to bring some of the other factors that are involved, because I'll just state this from the beginning. I have said all along that I expected Tyler Herro to retain his starting job no matter what. I still think he's going to retain his starting job. The question is whether he should. And these are really two different questions, what the Heat will do and what they should do. So we're going to try to work through this with the understanding that we're now at the point where we're under 20 games left in the regular season. The Herro, Bam, Butler combination is still under 500 this season on a team that's 9 games over 500. So I do think, at the very least, this is a legitimate conversation to have, to ask the question, is there enough time at this stage to get Tyler back in to the starting lineup, make adjustments to what they've been doing recently, and win and feel confident about the direction that they're going into the playoffs? So I waited as long as I could on this because I kept saying Tyler's going to start when he comes back. But we're getting closer to the end point here. We're in the middle of March almost. And I don't know when he's coming back. And I don't know what they're going to look like when he does. And other guys have emerged in his absence. And not that this is going to affect it, but they've added a couple of guards in DeLon Wright. And now Patty Mills, Josh Richardson out for the season with a separated shoulder. So some things have changed. But what hasn't changed is that Tyler Hero is the Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Heat. He's by far the most polarizing figure. So we're going to touch on it with Tyler. But Brady, we're also going to touch it in the context of the total backcourt, because this is not an either or. And the way I'm just going to throw this poll out here today, because this will tell you kind of where Heat fans are. And then let's get into some of the, again, the optics and what goes into this decision making here. I polled this a couple hours ago. It's already got 1,500 votes. These polls don't typically get 1,500 votes in an hour. Okay, so this is what is on everybody's mind. What should the Heat's backcourt be when all are healthy? Rozier Hero, Rozier Robinson, Hero Robinson, or something else? What do you think is leading?
Probably Duncan and Terry.
61%. Okay.
That feels right.
61%. So roughly, what, 800 to 900 of the 1,400 votes so far have gone this way. This is an unscientific poll, but we go to Heat Twitter. This is where the most passionate Heat fans are, most polarized passionate Heat fans are, and they are in favor of Rozier and Robinson at 61%. What do you think is second?
Hero Duncan?
No. Hero Rozier.
Okay.
So that's at 22%. Hero and Robinson is at 15%. So, and then something else is at 2%. And then some in the comments underneath mentioned making Caleb a starting guard, which, you know, again, we talk positionless. I mean, Caleb could be a guard. He could be a forward. He could be virtually anything. I want to say he's not going to be a center with Spo, but you never know. So essentially, 37% want Hero to start when he's back. Okay, if you combine Hero Robinson and Hero Rozier, which are the two most likely situations. And this is a guy who's averaging 20 points this season, who has improved various aspects of his game over the course of his time in Miami, who signed a relatively lucrative contract, who the Miami Heat clearly value because they've only offered him up, or so they say, for two players who are top 75 all-time, one of whom is probably top 25 all-time in Kevin Durant, and who they were frustrated that his value was not perceived to be higher by the Blazers, by the media, and by other teams this offseason. So the fact that 61% or more don't want him to start is newsworthy. And a lot of this is because of frustrations with particular parts of his game, particularly the efficiency. Some of it is related to fit, and some of it is related to the fact that he was a really, really good sixth man. And so there's a feeling that if he goes back to that, to running the bench, that it will help the Heat because they had their best regular season record the year that he was the sixth man. Brady, I'm going to get into the optics of this and everything that goes into it, but I just, from your perspective, where do you stand on the debate in the macro? Like, overall, like...
So, I understand why there's so much of a want for Duncan to start. It makes sense for this time of season when Jimmy's playing this brand of basketball, when he has the ball in his hands a lot more, and you have a guy that plays mostly off ball and kind of bail you out of certain positions. But he also has now seen an uptick on the ball, and he's been really good at it. Like, I put out a stat today where, like, there's like a 59 players that have taken 100 plus pull up threes. One of those players is shooting 44%. No player is shooting 45%, and Duncan's shooting 46%. 46% on pull up threes. So it's like you have this guy that is supposed to be this off ball guy that doesn't get in the way of your offense, and he's become this guy that can kind of be a trigger for your offense. So when you have a guy that is a rhythm player that you kind of is hot and cold at times, that can play that style, and he's hot right now, I think there's just a want that he needs to be on the floor and he needs to play, start when they're kind of playing well. The issue I have with it, Ethan, is like, I think on the to play devil's advocate a little bit, this idea that they just went on this run, this when they turned it around after losing streak because Duncan is starting, is like totally false. Like, we cannot just play this game where it's like they've just played better since this point. Like, they started playing better after the losing streak, and I think they went 7-2 before Tyler got injured, and one of the losses was the one game that Tyler didn't play. So after the 7-game losing streak, they went 7-1 with Tyler starting. So they started playing good basketball before that point, like way before Tyler went down. But the issue is now, to your point, is the availability factor. And I think that's the part that's warranted. Like, you get to a point where there's just this thought process of the fact that you know what happened in the past, and now it's getting back to the playoff time, and you're still – one of the lineups we're talking about, Ethan, is the – I brought it up to you before we started – was the Rozier, Tyler, Jimmy, Jovic band. Like, that lineup is the one we're kind of debating, is it Duncan or Tyler in this instance. That lineup that I just said has not played a minute. They've not played a minute this year. Part of that is because Jovic wasn't playing when they were running the Tyler Terry lineups, but we just haven't seen it. So it's like, it's just funny that we're at this point. But I think the macro is that it is warranted because Duncan is playing really good basketball. And, you know, we did a podcast recently about closing lineups, and I think it's also warranted the fact that, you know, you were talking and having these discussions that Duncan could be a closer. Like, that's just how good he's been. But let me just say one thing really quickly is that it's like, if let's just say that the last two or three games, Duncan was kind of a no-show, or let's just say the last two games, this wouldn't even be a discussion, probably. Like, if Duncan just had two iffy games, it would be like, okay, Tyler's going to come back and have his starting lineup. But it's just like now, because Duncan kind of had like another masterful kind of couple games, and he's in this rhythm right now, that this is the discussion we're having. So a little bit of it is recency bias, like a little bit of it. But I think it still needs to be said that they're in a rhythm. Like, they have Duncan in this spot.
As you say, there's noise in all these numbers, right? Because there's so many variables, like who's in, who's out, who are they playing? You know, what's the tone of the team at the time? But there is all this backstory. And part of the backstory is they made a run to the finals last year with Tyler Hero not playing. And I've made the case that they could have used him against Denver. But I've also made the case that it probably made them it easier at times for them to get to the finals because things were streamlined for them. They got to the playoffs, and it was give the ball to Jimmy and get the hell out of the way. And who needs to get out of the way the most? Somebody who has high usage. And so Jimmy went when Tyler wasn't there, and it worked up until they got to the finals when Jimmy was hobbled, a little bit tired, and they could have used someone who could make some mid-range shots and some floaters and given them an additional scoring option. And so, again, there's context to all of this. But you mentioned the Duncan factor, and we're going to get more into the Tyler thing specifically. But I do think we need to mention it as it relates to Duncan and how it affects his play, because we're constantly talking about how this affects Tyler, right? Well, Tyler stated in a question that I asked back in 2022, after the 2022 season, I believe it was in early June, Greg, it was retweeted out today because people found the tweet, okay, where I asked him about starting, and he had an answer ready for the question. He wasn't offended by the question. He wanted to say it. He said, I believe I've earned the right to be a starter. He made that declaration after winning Sixth Man of the Year. After all, he won the biggest award you can win as a reserve, right? So he believed that it was his time to be a starter and his time to get a contract, and he got both, okay? And we always talk about it like, would he accept this? Would they be able to talk to him the way that, say, Spoelstra talked to Dragic or talked to Wade or talked to others or Pop talked to Manu, right? We never talk about it like how it affects Duncan. And the numbers are stark in terms of the difference in Duncan's play when he starts and when he comes off the bench. You know, they are, first thing for the team, they're 18-6 when Duncan starts. They're 19-17 when Tyler starts. So they're much better when Duncan starts. Now, some of that is starting together. Obviously, the numbers don't add up exactly right because they've started some games together. But 18-6, I mean, in the macro, it's a hard number to argue with. And then if you look at Duncan's splits as a starter this year, 24 games, 49% overall, 46% from three, 16-3-4 his numbers. Again, adjusted, he plays more minutes as a starter. 32 games off the bench, he's shooting 42% overall and 36% from three. He is an elite, elite, elite shooter as a starter. He's pretty good as a reserve. That's what the numbers say this year. And so I think as we move forward and talk about Tyler and how it affects him, and then we'll get into the Terry Rozier part of this, I do think you got to consider, do you lose some of Duncan's productivity not starting him? And that's where I've started to come around on this a little bit. That and the fact that Tyler has not been around to work through the kinks that they've had to deal with this season with him, Jimmy, and Bam, where it has not been a perfect fit, no matter how Spoelstra staggered it or any of the rest of that stuff. And we've talked about the different staggering and taking Jimmy out and bringing Tyler in and all the rest of this. The one thing we know worked was a couple seasons ago when Tyler was running the bench. We know that worked, okay? And we're going to get into some of the metrics of what it looked like and kind of what Tyler's numbers have been with various players and who brought them down and who didn't bring them down in recent years. But I do want to mention the Duncan part, because you're getting a lesser Duncan when he comes off the bench. You just are. And we always talk about, okay, how is Duncan affecting the other players? Well, how is the bench role affecting Duncan? And there does seem to be either more maybe it takes him longer to get going, or he's more tentative, or maybe there's less confidence or whatever, but it does have an impact on him. So we're going to get into that. All right. After the break, though, I want to get into the Tyler part of it specifically with Brady, and then we'll talk about the Rozier component. Do want to mention another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. I was just with Michael today up in Boca Raton at his new warehouse up there, Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find him at WCUFL.com. WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida is your one-stop shop leak detection. That's what he was focusing on when I was talking to him today. Said to let everybody know, get your place checked out before there's a problem. Yes, he can clean it up after the fact, mold, all that stuff, but the insurance companies don't always take care of you. So reach out to him, Michael Robert, his entire team up there, huge Miami sports fans as well. And he's beating me in our fantasy basketball league this year. So check it out. Water Cleanup of Florida. WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz, they've got the guts. All right. Next part of this, we're going to get more into the Tyler Hero specifics. All right. Back on Five on the Floor, Ethan here with Brady. Let me ask you a very simple question that's very loaded. Who's a better basketball player right now? Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson? Okay.
It's Tyler Hero. This is kind of the point I think it's at with, like, the recency bias of stuff. Like, there's still things that Tyler brings to the table that pushes them over the top against certain matchups. Like, the real conversation isn't like who should start. It's like who should start against certain teams, because, like, that's when I think the case is to be made. Like, I think there's certain matchups that benefit the both of them. So that's kind of, but Tyler still gets the, are you feeling differently? Like, is,
no, I don't, actually. I think in a vacuum, I think Tyler Hero is still a better, higher upside player than Duncan Robinson. That's what I'll say. I think that the peak of where Tyler can get to, maybe it's age bias on my part, the fact that Tyler's still just 24 years old, and I feel like there's more growth to be had there, or it's the playmaking that we've seen. There are some areas of Tyler's game that I wish would show more growth. And the one thing that I'm going to point to, and you and I talked about it before the season, it's not defense. I think the limitations on defense, we understand. Okay. And I think that they have enough good defensive players on this team. As long as Tyler is competing off the ball, I think they're fine. It's getting to the line. That's the biggest thing with me with Tyler, because he is a different kind of player than Duncan, and Duncan does create more gravity than Tyler does. And so if Tyler is going to be taking the ball in the basket, he's got to be getting some foul calls. It just can't be that he's getting swatted all the time. And that's kind of what was happening this year. And you look at the true shooting percentage, which a lot of people point to, that's largely the result of the lack of free throw attempts, because he's a good free throw shooter. That's not a problem. He's a very good free throw shooter, obviously. But he doesn't get there enough. And for guards like him, he gets there pretty much less than anybody else. And some of that is, you know, on his own physical limitations, and some of it is on the officials not giving him a benefit of the doubt. But either way, the numbers are the numbers. And that's kind of where I'm coming to on this. Like, I'm trying to take the emotion out of this, and I'm going to read something here on the air in a second that gets into the emotion of all of this argument. I'm trying to take the emotion out and say, look, I thought Tyler would be sixth man of the year. I said that before the season when he was. I repeatedly said that I don't think Tyler's injuries are his fault, like diving for a loose ball and breaking your hand or stepping on a foot, which is something Jimmy's done. That's not Tyler's fault. I'm just trying to get into the practicality of the situation here. The practicality of the situation is their numbers are better when Duncan starts. They win more when Duncan starts. Other players elevate more playing with Duncan. And there are certain adjustments that need to be made while playing with Tyler that don't need to be made while playing with Duncan. And then the final thing on it is, and again, I haven't stated my decision on this yet, but I'm talking about my thought process. The biggest thing is just availability. Like, I don't blame Tyler for not being available, but availability is, you know, like Bill Parcells says, like, you can't make the team from the tub, right? Like, he has to be out there to see what this looks like, and we're running out of time. That's why my perspective on this has changed. Like, there's enough of a sample size with what they look like with Duncan as a starter, and there's enough time that's run out on this season that I think it's finally time to have a conversation that I have not been wanting to have for the past couple of months, because I just have said Tyler's going to be a starter. I'm going to read this. I'm not going to read the Twitter handles here, but I sent this one to you when we took a brief break, okay? And this is what I'm talking about, the polarization of this topic, okay? So I post this poll. So someone tweets, and this is part of the anti-Tyler agenda, okay? How many times do people have to keep tweeting the stats with Duncan versus Tyler as a starter before it's accepted? The argument to go to Tyler is always rooted in the contractor confidence, basically optics. No one ever gives a basketball reason. His numbers are identical to his six-man season two. Then whenever someone who's anti-Tyler jumps in, then we get the other side immediately. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like a bat signal or something like that, right? Okay, it's a boy wonder signal. So here's the response. Basketball reason number one, he's our best shooter. Do you agree with that, by the way? Brady?
That's a tough question. That is – shout out to Alex, but that is a tough question.
Why are you always asking me the tough questions? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, right now as we're speaking, it might be Duncan. Like, Duncan's probably the better shooter right now, right?
I think, again, it depends on what kind of a shooter we're talking about. I think if Tyler devoted himself to just being a catch-and-shoot player, I think he could shoot at a level that Duncan does.
It's definitely different coverages, too, that feed into it. Yes, like yes. Duncan gets attention, but it's different attention. Like, it's definitely different gravity.
Well, let's put it this way. DeLon Wright, right, who we've had on the podcast and talked to us about this, like, Atlanta – I guess it was Nate was the coach at the time. Nate McMillan didn't tell DeLon Wright, go sick Duncan Robinson during that playoff series. He said, go get Tyler Hero, right?
Yeah.
So that is a different level. But it's a different type of respect, because Duncan gets a different type of respect, which is the gravity and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, blitzing a guy and trying to get him off his game, there's more of that done to Tyler than there is done to Duncan. In fact, Tyler and I talked about that when we talked about getting Terry, and he talked about liking playing with Terry. And we got to get into Terry here too. But he said that so far, and this was when Tyler was playing, when before Terry got hurt also, when he said other teams are putting their best perimeter defender on me right now, but at some point that will change and that will free me up, because he said teams are going to have to respect Terry. But the reality is teams do put their best perimeter defender on Tyler most of the time. They don't necessarily play Duncan quite that way. So I think, again, they're played differently, and there needs to be some nuance here. Number two, this is, again, back to the tweet of the Tyler defender. Number two, defenses have to give him more attention than Duncan. Again, we just discussed that. It kind of works both ways. Three, he leads the team in clutch scoring. I'll say this. That's factually incorrect this year. That has been true at times during Tyler's tenure, but actually Tyler has of their 10 players who played the most minutes this season in the fourth quarter, Tyler has by far the worst shooting percentages. So that has not been, and again, that's fourth quarter nuance, not necessarily just the last 6 minutes, but Duncan has the best, by the way. So that's just, again, I'm trying to deal in facts here. That's just not facts. Would you agree that he's a better clutch player than Duncan?
Yeah. I would say that. I mean, that's why I think this is objective a little bit, because when we did our closing lineup thing, like, I have Tyler in the closing lineup and you had Duncan. So it's like, some of this is situation and everything, but in terms of clutch, like, I don't mean to like pull out like negative plays, but like the big conversation a few years ago in that one game seven here in Miami against Boston was those two looks that Duncan had, where a lot of the conversation on social media was like, oh, Tyler hits those. Like, Tyler loves those shots. Right. So like, in that context specifically, like, I don't know. I would lean Duncan. I mean, I would lean Tyler, okay. Excuse me.
All right. And then this guy says number four, and this is one of those, there's about five on Twitter. If you say anything, it's even remotely, even if it's just statistically based, remotely critical of Tyler, they jump on you immediately. Number four, leads in game winners. Is that still true? I don't know for sure. He's certainly up there. There's no question about that. Jimmy's certainly had his share. Bam has had his share too. And again, what are we calling a game winner? Are we just calling it a buzzer beater? Mm. Are we calling it like sort of a kill shot? Like Duncan, I thought, had the kill shot in the last game, that three that he made. He's made a bunch of those over the years. Max made a bunch of those when he was here. But it feels like Tyler's made a bunch as well. Maybe not as much as he did early in his Heat tenure, but he's made a bunch. I don't know how to empirically classify game winners. And then five, leads in three-pointers in the last 3 minutes. I would have to look that up. I can't speak to it. Okay, let me give you the response here. This is from the anti-Tyler. And again, these folks are just as out there on the other side, okay? It's just
we're debunking a Twitter conversation right now.
No, we are, but this is the debate. Like, this is going on a daily basis. I don't know if it's going on with the casual Heat fan, but this is really all that Heat Twitter wants. Now that Jovic is in the starting lineup, like, now that we've settled that argument, like, and again, Spo's answer to me about the Jovic-Bam connection, like, I'm convinced Jovic is never coming out of the starting lineup now.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
You know, it feels like this is the only thing left, honestly. Okay, so here we go. This is from the anti. He is not, capital letters, our best shooter. He takes 18 shots to give you 20 points. That gets back to what I was saying, where it's the free throw shooting. It's not that he's inefficient overall in his effective field goal percentage, because the three-point percentage is high, which props that up. That's good. But he makes free throws, but he doesn't get free throws. And that's why sometimes, you know, it's again a lot of shots to get a certain number of points. This person says that is not efficient. It's why they never miss him when he's out. Do you agree they never miss him when he's out?
I mean, they miss Tyler against Denver. So I don't know about never, but I mean the track record is that they have gone on runs without him, because Jimmy just has the ball in his hands that much more, that it's not really a Tyler versus Duncan thing. It's more of a Tyler versus Jimmy thing. Like, it's like him having the ball more. But I mean, I do think there's certain matchups that they're going to need Tyler. And if, to give one example, obviously, it was Denver last year.
Okay, and then the next part of this. Duncan, Caleb, Hawkins all play better without him when they get the ball more. Now, you're mentioning Jimmy specifically. Do you think that also applies to the three. Those are really the Heat's three core role players, mm-hmm. right? Other than Love, Duncan, Caleb, and Hawkins. You think they all play better without him because they get the ball?
I would say so. I mean, anybody when their usage goes up like that, I would say has a better chance of like Jaime specifically is the one that always sticks out to me that he kind of gets a little bit more reps in the mid post, gets a little bit more opportunity on the ball. Duncan, if Tyler's not playing, obviously he's starting, so he's getting up more shots. And Caleb, I'm not totally sure on. I feel like Caleb plays his role no matter what next to Tyler. I feel like he actually plays well with Tyler, Caleb does. But Duncan and Jaime, I would agree with.
Okay. And then his true shooting percentage is currently the lowest since his rookie year. That is empirically true. And again, that's the free throw shooting. Or the free throw attempts. And I'm not going to get into the rest of this because this literally just keeps going. It just keeps going, debating the same things that you and I are trying to settle here in maybe a more nuanced fashion. But I this plays into all of it, and then we'll talk Terry, which is that there is the basketball part of this, and then there's the optics part of this, okay? And there are a few things that go into, say, optics, okay? One of which is how it looks within your team, how it looks to the players involved, and then how it looks to the rest of the league. And the Heat do need to weigh that stuff. Like, that matters. Like, you're trying to win a championship, but that is relevant, okay? It is relevant whether or not, and I know Barry speculated on this today. He wasn't speaking from information, but how it would affect Tyler to go to the bench after he has earned a starting job and been a 20-point scorer in this league, and improved in a variety of ways over his, you know, almost five seasons with the team. That matters. But like I said, it also matters that Duncan doesn't play as well coming off the bench. The value part of it, all right? If you are looking to make a move in the future, whether or not it is to try to get a star, it seems like that ship has sailed, okay? For whatever reason, the Lillard thing, the Durant thing, I don't know what you can include Tyler with to get a star level third guy. I think it's more likely at this point that Tyler, if he was to be moved, would be moved for pieces, sort of like, you know, the Heat have done before. We talked about moving Eddie Jones, you know, when he was the third guy with the Shaq Wade build and moving him and picking up Antoine Walker and others in that trade, which was a multitude of trades and free agent signings at once in one offseason. So could you get more size? Could you use Tyler's contract to do that? Could you bring in an additional pick that could be used for something else? If you're putting him back on the bench after he's been a starter, could that deflate his value around the league? Perhaps a little bit. I think it's something to consider. I don't think it should be the major thing. But I do think that those things overall matter, but I think the biggest thing that matters at this point, again, is whether or not the team is being elevated by the positions that people are being put into. And I can just tell you that, like, Eric Spoelstra is not going to be he knows the numbers. Like, everybody's like, does he know that the team plays better with Duncan in the starting lineup? Yes. Brady, I think he's fully aware of that. Like, you know, but he also told me once that 75% of his job is managing the locker room, managing personalities, managing egos. Okay, so then if that's the case, then I do think that a decision like this, if it was to be Duncan over Tyler, I do think that stuff matters. And so I do think that's something that they have to weigh. In your view, which matters more?
I'm on the side, really, that, like, the value part you mentioned, I don't know if that truly matters, in my opinion, in terms of making that decision, because I'm sorry, Eric Spoelstra is not thinking about his trade value when it comes down to playoff time. Like, he's going to play who he wants to play and who he thinks is going to win him a playoff game. Like, I just don't think they're going to make their decision based off that. And yeah, like, while he definitely knows the numbers, definitely can, he said before, like, every lineup looks better with Duncan. Like, he literally said that about, like, basically, like, that's why I think, to not to stray off, but like, the one case for Duncan is, like, I like, forgetting the numbers, forgetting all that, like, I feel like he plays better with Jimmy specifically, which is why I think that is what leads everybody pointing to this, because everything is based around Jimmy at all times. And I think everybody just realizes that he just does play better with Jimmy, it seems like. But what matters more? I mean, I'm just kind of on the point where it's like, I really do feel like if Eric Spoelstra thinks that Duncan Robinson should start over Tyler Hero, he'll start him over Tyler Hero. Like, he's not, like, afraid that Tyler's value is going to drop, or afraid that he's going to like have to have a tough conversation. Like I really like I'm not really
he
on
had
that
the
side.
He had the conversation with Dragic. I mean, he had the conversation with Goran. He had the conversation with Dwight. And I'm glad you use the word afraid here, because I see that creep into social media sometimes when it comes to Spo. Eric Spoelstra, of all coaches in the NBA, with the exception of Greg Popovich, has the least to be afraid of. He just signed an 8-year contract. Okay. He has the total backing. This is like having your CD backed by the US government. He has the total backing of the Heat organization. He has had it since the very beginning. LeBron James tried to get him fired and Pat said no. So Eric Spoelstra is not afraid to make a tough decision. The fact that he would weigh the human element of this does not make him afraid to make the decision. I want to clarify that, because I have seen some of that creeping in here. Spo's afraid to have the talk with Tyler. No, he's not. He had the talks with LeBron. He went at Jimmy during a game. Jimmy Butler, okay? They were going at it. And Spo like relished that situation. Not afraid to have a conversation with Tyler Hero. But I do think you weigh how it affects your locker room, how it affects the players involved. And I think to a degree, you weigh the future. Although I agree with you, I don't think that's the major thing. But again, he has the full backing, okay? It's like the full credit and authority of the United States, okay? He's fine, okay? He's a made man in Miami. He's not afraid of benching someone if he has to. I think that the numbers are pointing a certain direction here that have gotten harder to ignore. But with that being said, you said a couple of things there, and I want to go back through some of the numbers, not just now, but also the big three, okay? Last year, Jimmy and Duncan were minus 4.1 together. Jimmy and Tyler were a plus 4.7. So yes, this year, it looks a lot better with Jimmy and Duncan. Last year, it didn't. Last year, it looked better with Jimmy and Tyler. Or at least
small
the numbers.
Sample though with Jimmy and Duncan last year.
It was. And Duncan didn't play particularly well and was coming off an injury and then got benched again. Mm-hmm. But I just want to clarify that. The problem with their numbers last year was not Tyler, it was Max. Okay. Max tanked all their numbers. and again, I'm a big Max fan, but I mean, you look at, I mean, all Truce's numbers with everybody on the team were horrible. They were all bad. Like, across the board. You know the other guy that did the other two-man combination that was bad last season? The one we love so much, Bam and Duncan, minus 5.3. So last year, when Duncan wasn't playing well or wasn't playing consistently, things didn't look good. Things look better this year because of the way that Duncan has played. So I just want to say, sometimes this stuff changes a little bit, okay? And if you go back two seasons ago, 21-22, the Strus numbers with everybody were great. Strus and Tyler even were the plus 12.5 when Tyler was coming off the bench, okay? Bam and Tyler were plus 10.5 two years ago. Their numbers this year together have not been particularly good. Butler and Hero that year were plus 5.7, etc. Jimmy and Duncan that year were plus 5.1. So even that year, where Duncan was playing better, Butler's numbers were better, slightly better with Duncan, with Tyler than they were with Duncan. And the one other thing I just want to go back to here is, if you go back to the big three era, and I had these conversations with Spo during that period of time, LeBron and Dwayne had really good numbers together for the first 3 years, okay? 10-11, they were plus 12.1. 11-12, they were plus 13.6, okay? Next year, they were plus four in the year that they won 66 games. Everybody's numbers were up except our guy Norris, unfortunately. I remember Tom Haberstroh writing a bunch of columns about that. The only negative numbers were there. But Bron and Wade were plus 14.4. In the last year of the big three, Bron and Wade were plus 6.4, okay? Which was not great for a team that was elite. Bosch and Bron, plus 9.9. Bosh and Wade numbers were also better than Wade and Bron. And I had the conversation with Spo late that year, and he said, if I follow the analytics, if I just follow the, he said, I see them. If I just follow the analytics, I wouldn't, the way that LeBron and Dwayne were playing together in the playoffs, I wouldn't have played them together much at all. But they're LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And I'm going to play them. And I'm not saying that Tyler Hero is either of those guys. Okay. But what I'm saying is that sometimes Brady, he's going to lean towards the feel of his team and towards getting who he thinks are the best players on the floor, even if the fits, as suggested by the numbers, may not be as good at that point in time. Do you think he should lean more on feel, or do you think he should lean more on this is what the sheet says? You can't play these guys together as much. Make sure you get Duncan out with this guy and Duncan out with that guy and Duncan out with this guy.
Spo started the season at a press conference and he said, talking about like the rest of the league getting better, and said, well, it's a good thing the league, it's, the championship isn't won on paper. And it's like, that's almost the way this is viewed. Like, he's not looking at this anything on paper. Like, they are just going to continue to kind of push through. So I do think it is feel. I think it's based on a lot of those type of things. Now, like, if there was a run before the playoffs, or like if Tyler was to return and things looked ugly and it was getting in the way of Jimmy and he was shooting horribly, then it's time for Spo to evaluate it and probably go to it. But I think the feel for him right now is that when Tyler's healthy, he's going to get back into that starting lineup, especially because even if he wanted to start Duncan, you have to start Tyler just to get these reps with that lineup, because they just don't like it. That literally what I started when I said earlier was the fact that that lineup that we're talking about has not played a minute with Jovic and Terry and Jimmy and Bam. So you almost need to just play him there just to try to figure out how things are going to look. Even in, let's just say hypothetically, he was coming off the bench, he's still going to have to play with some of these guys. And the fact that we're doing a whole podcast on like starting lineups and everything, what I feel like, and I say every time, is like, it really, to me personally, like the starting lineup thing really doesn't matter that much. Like, I understand like the numbers with Duncan starting versus Tyler starting, but it really comes down to Spo mastering his rotations. And like the Duncan Jimmy combo matters to me more than Duncan starting. Like, he just has to figure out combos that work. And Duncan and Jimmy have looked really good, which is funny considering the fact that I feel like Jimmy's always screaming at Duncan. We there was that thing where we used to say that Jimmy hated him or something. But like, they legitimately play really well off each other. And part of it is because Duncan just gets out the way. Duncan just gets away from him and lets Jimmy do things and lets him yell at him. So it just works.
This is post Jalen Brown Duncan too. I noticed in the locker room yesterday, there is better rapport between the two of them this year. I've noticed that. It feels like the joking is a little bit more lighthearted than before. From Jimmy to Duncan, it felt a little mean-spirited. Like, even the thing, the one we always point to is when Duncan had a great game and he praised Max instead. And it did feel like the usual trolling. It felt like he wanted Max to play more. And we know Max did play more. And Max took Duncan's role. And I understood when I looked back at the numbers from last year. I'll just read this one, and then we're gonna quickly talk about Terry before we close here. Duncan and Max last year were -15.5. Well, no one per 100 possessions. No wonder Spo told me that he decided he can only play one. And that's when he was going to go back to Duncan. But then Duncan got hurt again, and then he stuck with Max. I want to close on Rozier. I do want to mention one more sponsor real quick. Better Edge, use code 5RSN. We mentioned trying to play props in the state of Florida. Better Edge, you still can. It's legal. It's peer-to-peer. So that means you can get your $20 to play by just going to betteredge.com. Use the code 5Reasons, which is the number 5 with reasons, or 5RSN, you get $20 to play. You can also participate in all our competitions. All right, we've kind of left one thing out here. Brady, give me the argument for why they can't just play together and the starting lineup.
I mean, the defensive side of things, I think, is where you look. Not that Terry is some ball stopper, but I think it's just a different element of speed that he gives you that you think of. You could probably say the Tyler Duncan case is to be made if it's a playoff move and they move Nico back to the bench. Like, if they were to start Haywood or Caleb or something like that, like, it feels like it's more likely, but it's more traditional to go with Terry and Nico. Like, it feels right. So, I mean, that's the case to be made. I mean, to be honest, would the case be that, because everybody just thinks of Tyler as this bench player and it's going to come off the bench and just kill second units. Isn't Terry more built for that? Like, when I think about it on paper,
oh yeah,
of killing other second units and playing the style that we're discussing, that's more Terry's game than Tyler's game to me. But
I mean, I think a bench core of Rozier, Martin, Jaquez, and Love would be really interesting. You know, again, 15% of the people polled here, and now we're over 2,000 votes, have Hero Robinson together as their preference. They have made progress. There's no question. They play better together. I think you mentioned what the X factor is here, which is Jovic. And I went through Jovic's numbers today. The duos, he's good with everybody. Like, literally, except the point guards. He was not great with Lowry, and he and Rozier don't have good numbers together. And I think there's actually something to that, because I think Jovic is better with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
But the numbers are – his number with Caleb, his number with Duncan, they are elite numbers. His numbers with Tyler are very good. But we haven't seen the Jovic Hero Robinson lineup. We haven't seen it. Because Jovic was not as much of a factor before, even though now he's started 20 games. This is where I come down at it, and we'll give our final arguments on this. Nobody is going to listen to us on either side, because both sides are too entrenched on this. Okay. I have thought all along, like I said, that Tyler would get his starting job back when he came back, and that he should. I did not think we'd be pressed up into this final quarter of the season and not know when he's returning. I think he's got to get back soon. I just do. I think it's got to be in the next week or so. And I think if it's going to be Hero, Rozier, and Jovic in the starting lineup, they need 2 or 3 weeks to see what that looks like before the playoffs start. And I think if Tyler has any more of an extended absence than that, and this team continues to play well, let's say they win in OKC in Dallas. Let's say they beat Denver at home with Duncan. At that point, I don't know how you can make the change. I don't. To me, Tyler, you know what would help Tyler's case in all this? Get back at least before the Denver game and do against Denver what we thought he might do against Denver in the finals if he'd gotten back. But again, he didn't play in Denver this year, just missed that game. And we don't know when he's returning. And it's not like it's just going to be seamless, because it wasn't seamless before he went out. So I'm giving it about another week to 2 weeks to see if he comes back, what Spo does with Jovic. I think he'll keep him in the starting lineup. How that looks with Rozier, if they can all stay healthy. And if it's past that point, to me, if you're rolling with Duncan, you roll with Duncan. And you see what it looks like with Tyler coming off the bench.
The problem I would have with that is, like, with him kind of, you know, because he does need to come back soon, because they need him and they need to figure out lineups and everything like that. But the worst thing that could happen is him rushing back because he feels he needs to prove himself. And then now you're back to the no Tyler playoff thing, or another injury pops up, and now it's more like, it's almost like take care of it now. Duncan's in a flow. Forget all this narrative stuff that's out there. Just keep playing your game and figure out when the time comes. But I will say that every time that Tyler Hero has an injury, he has to come back and prove himself. Like, has there been an injury where a time where that hasn't been? Like, that's not the case with a lot of players. And I think that's why we talk about him being polarizing. Like, I understand it. Like, we just made the cases. Like, we just did it. But it is just wild to me that no matter what, he always has to come back and prove it to, like, not against other teams, like against it, like his own teammates or like the narrative or anything. Like, that's just who Tyler is at this stage.
It's against the narrative is what it is. And those narratives are not going to go away. And he knows it. He knows it. He even said it before last year. He had to prove it in the playoffs. I think what's different this year is two things have happened. Duncan has become a different beast than he was even prior to last season. And so they have a viable option, okay? Even more viable than Max was. So I think that's part one to it. And I think part two to it is that the Hero, Butler, Bam connection has not been there. The three of them together, when they have played together in what has been a sort of sadly small sample size this year. And I think those two factors, and the fact that Tyler's had another, you know, towards the end of the season injury, I think does make it a viable conversation to have at this point. And then you get into the fact that, look, Tyler Hero is a really good young player. He's got a really good future in the league. He's a great draft pick. But the greatest player in franchise history and sacrificed. Another guy who's one of the most beloved players in franchise history sacrificed. And so if he has to, because he's jumping on a moving train that's going the right direction too late in the season, it's just one of those things. So, like I said, I think it's at least something to discuss at this point. So I'm giving it another week or two to see how he comes back and – And you know, if it's beyond that, then I think you roll with a guy who's rolling. Because to me, Duncan's been a top half of the league two guard this year as a starter, and he's been pretty damn good. All right, thanks to Brady. We tried to cover it as best as we can. Everybody's going to have a problem with us no matter what we said on this. Anyway, thanks to our sponsors, Better Edge, Prize Picks, and Water Cleanup of Florida. We'll try to hit something less controversial next time. Like, will Patty Mills get a minute? Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
New Jersey's got a lot of historic wows, from Victorian beach towns to Revolutionary War battlegrounds. Explore wow after wow at more than 463 historic landmarks in museums, lighthouses, and over 58 state and national parks. It's one wow after another, you get it. Find your wow at visitnj.org/history. New Jersey, little state, lot of wow.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.